Bethel University, and the University of Minnesota Moorhead. What do these all have in common? Well, yeah, all four of my kids waited for acceptance letters to these schools. And the good news is the letters came, and so we celebrated. But unfortunately, a few months later, another letter came, which outlined the cost of that acceptance. It's called tuition. It's a sober reminder that being accepted can come with a high price. So in the story today, we discover three people who found that they were accepted. And in the book of Ruth, in chapter 9 of the story that we are reading together today, the continuous story of God and his people, we find out radical acceptance is the key. In this book of Ruth, we discover radical acceptance. It's something that you might personally feel is elusive. Do you feel radically accepted? Do you feel just regularly accepted? You know, your public self might feel accepted, socially accepted. Your social media self might feel radical, or it might feel accepted, but probably wouldn't be categorized in that radically accepted category. Your close friends might accept you with most of your flaws. I mean, that's the deal, right? If you're my friend, you got to accept me the way I am, all my good and bad. But do they accept the whole you? Do you find it hard to accept that you can be accepted? Maybe that's even just hard to accept for yourself, that you're acceptable. And if so, you probably are trapped in the insecurities that a lot of us have. And it's a dilemma, because as much as we struggle with our own acceptance, if you and I don't experience it personally, it's nearly impossible to radically accept others. Let me say that again. If we don't personally experience acceptance, it's almost impossible to radically accept others, especially if it costs us something. And that seems to be a really big problem today, because we seem to be in this crisis of acceptance of each other. It might be that for one of you here today, acceptance is your biggest need. But I am pretty confident that it's one of the biggest needs of most of us here today. If you personally struggle with being accepted, if experiencing it if it's hard to be accepted, if we feel like we're not accepted, and if that is the primary initiator of extending acceptance to others, then how are we going to be the people that God has called us to be? How are you going to be the person God has called you to be who displays God's heart of radical acceptance to the world? That's our dilemma. How are you going to be accepted so that you can point others to the God who is graciously accepting them and calling them back? Here's how. By accepting that you belong. Seems pretty simple, isn't it? But accepting, personally accepting, that you belong. You belong. If you can accept that simple truth, whether you feel it or not today, you'll begin to discover radical acceptance of others. And that's the truth. You belong. You hearing that? You belong. If you're online with us today, welcome back. We're so glad that you're here with us. But I would like you to go ahead and type in the comments, I belong. I belong. And for the rest of us, I'd like you to just tell the person next to you that you belong. Go ahead and tell them, you belong. You belong. Okay, that's good to hear, right? It's good to hear, you belong. But there's something a little deeper. We have to actually accept that truth, that we belong. So I want you to say to yourself, I belong. I mean, say it together, I belong. Ready? Let's do it one more time. I belong. That's right. You belong. Naomi and Ruth and Boaz, they discover that they belong. And in their story today, it reveals how radical acceptance is what we find when we embrace our own belonging as part of God's redemptive story. So the good news today is that you are accepted into God's family, and you are part of the story. This is your story. This is our story. This is God's story. So let's dig in. In chapter 9, verse 121, the chapter of Ruth begins. It says, in the days when the judges ruled, in fact, this is the time when Gideon the judge ruled the northern kingdom. We learned a little about him. In the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land, and a man from Bethlehem in Judah, together with his wife and two sons, went to live for a while. Say, for a while. They went to live for a while in the country of Moab. The man's name was Elimelech. His wife's name was Naomi, and the names of the two sons were Mahlon and Chilion. They were Ephrathites from Bethlehem, Judah, and they went to Moab and lived there. So as we read the story of Ruth, hopefully you've engaged that. If not, I encourage you. It's only four short chapters. There's one thing that really stands out in this story. In fact, it doesn't stand out, and that is a mention of God. God is actually rarely mentioned in the book of Ruth, but we recognize that God's hand is at work kind of providentially as all these things are taking place. So it seems like to the characters in the book, however, that maybe God is absent. Stuff's going on. It's kind of difficult. They're asking, where's God in all of this? So this family seems to forget that they belong. They seem to forget whose they are. They are Ephrathites from Bethlehem and Judah. They are from the tribe of Ephraim. They are God's people. And there's trouble in Bethlehem. The judges are ruling, but there's times when the people are turning away from God, really bad. And God's judgment is falling upon the people. They've stepped out of God's covering. They're no longer following God's covenant. And bad things are happening. In this case, a drought has come upon Israel. And it's turning from bad to worse, so much so that they are actually thinking about, Naomi and her husband, thinking about going to Moab. So what's wrong with Moab? Well, we might think of Moab today as being like the relationship between Russia and Ukraine. Maybe between North Korea, Iran, and the United States. Relationships aren't very good. Things are kind of bad. Actually, they're really bad. They have a long and difficult history. They are the descendants of Lot's incestuous relationship with his daughters. The king of Moab actually sent Balaam, a prophet, to curse them when they were passing through with Moses. God worked it out the other way because that's how God does things, but you kind of get the picture. The women of Moab had enticed the Israelite men to worship Baals and pagan gods, and it caused the death of many of God's people through that retribution. In the law of Moses now, the Israelites are forbidden to have relationship, to intermarriage with the Moabites. So what are Elimelech and Naomi doing? Why are they leaving the land of God's inheritance? Why are they walking away from God's promises in Israel to go to Moab? Why are they doing it? Because of a famine, right? Because they're hungry. Because things are so desperate and so bad that they feel they need to leave. It is the consequences of Israel's disobedience in its tough times. So the things that are about to happen to Naomi reveal the struggle of walking away from God. It seems to Naomi that she's rejected. Does anybody ever feel rejected? Certainly, right? We know what rejection feels like. But what if it feels like God has rejected us? That has to be how Naomi feels as she finds herself in the struggles of everyday life, feeling rejected and forgotten. So we listen to Naomi's story and we realize that she's not forgotten. That's the good news, right? She's not forgotten. And here's the really good news: neither are you. In Moab, things go from worse to even worse. Elimelech, Naomi's husband, dies in Moab. That's not a good thing. A widow in Moab is not too good, but she still has her two sons to carry on. And those two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, they marry two Moabite women. Remember, that was not a good thing. I don't think that was the intention, but Orpah and Ruth become their wives. They're looking for blessing, but for 10 years, these women are barren, meaning they haven't been able to have any children, any offspring. And her sons then, Naomi's sons, die, leaving three women as widows. So Naomi is lost and alone in a foreign land. And in that case, for those women, it is desperate hardship. Naomi is an Israelite, so she's in a foreign land, and she encourages her daughters-in-law to stay in Moab because she reasons that they're going to be better off as widows in their own land. They could maybe remarry, but she knows they're going to be desperate in Israel because they'll be completely unaccepted. They're unacceptable. And so she pleads with them to stay. Well, we read this line that represents a turning point in the story. It's a ray of hope in this dark tragedy of Naomi's life. It says, when Naomi heard in Moab that the Lord had come to the aid of his people by providing food for them, she and her daughters-in-law prepared to return from there. Naomi remembers in her darkest moment whose she is. It's very subtle here. It's hard to maybe recognize, but she remembers that she belongs in the family of God. And God is returning his favor upon his people in Israel. And so Naomi is going home. Ever felt like that need to go home? Naomi is going home. She remembers that the Lord is her only hope of acceptance. And so this is the big first idea that we find today. You find radical acceptance when you accept that you belong to God. You belong to God. God accepts you. So Naomi returns to Bethlehem, but she wants to do it alone. But Ruth says no. Ruth decides that she's going to stick with her mother-in-law. She realizes that God's heart is bigger than Naomi understands. In the New Testament, the Apostle Peter, he recognizes God's radical acceptance of those that we might consider outsiders when he says, I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts from every nation the one who fears him and does what is right, from Acts chapter 10. The Apostle in the New Testament recognizes that God desires all people to be saved. In the Old Testament, it maybe wasn't that clear, but they're beginning to get the story. God is working out his upper story plan to get his people back. In fact, Naomi, even though she's going home, she wants to be called Mara, which means bitter because of all of life's hardships. How'd you like to change your name to Bitter? Just call me Bitter. Sounds like one person you'd want as a friend, right? Naomi discovers that she can trust God for a future, and so can you. The key is turning back to God. Turn to God. So you find radical acceptance when you accept that you belong to God and when you accept that you belong to one another. You belong to one another. You know, I find this amazing thing happen when the Wheaton Herman Norcross Warrior Team has a victory. You've probably seen it in a video. We have a little clip here on the screen. So we don't have sound, but that's Chris Falk there in the center doing something. And all the kids around the edge, the players around, are all weaving back and forth. What I find really amazing about this is not that it's a victory dance, but that it includes everyone, right? Everyone that's on the sidelines from the team, everyone who's been playing, everyone is in this circle together, and they are there arm in arm. Everyone is included. No one is on the outside. In fact, when they played their rivals, which was Graceville in their last game, they invited the Graceville team, not the winning team, the Graceville team to join them, knowing that they would be a team together the following year. So they radically included the other, their competitor, their opponent, to be embraced within this victory circle. And, you know, it kind of moved me. I think it's representative of such a God thing, this radical acceptance of the other. So Ruth accepts that she belongs with Naomi when she refuses to leave Naomi's side. She knows she belongs to something bigger than herself. We read in Ruth, again in the story, "Where you go, I will go," Ruth says. "Where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, your God, my God. When you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord deal with me, be it ever so severely, if even death separates you and me." That is commitment, right? That is acceptance of the other. Ruth commits her life to her mother-in-law, who really, apart from Ruth, even in Israel, is likely going to find a very difficult life. She's determined to be a blessing to Naomi. I think that's a key for us today. Being determined to be a blessing. When they arrive in Bethlehem, Naomi goes out and gleans grain from the field with other widows and orphans and the poor. And her radical acceptance, her commitment to Naomi, catches the attention of the people of Israel, including Boaz, who says this about Ruth. He says, "I have been told all about you, of what you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband, how you left your father and mother and your homeland and came to live with a people you did not know before. May the Lord repay you for what you have done. May you be richly rewarded by the God of Israel, under whose wing you have come to take refuge." So Ruth has gained acceptance by the watching eyes of those around her, people who are not her own. And we might ask, why? How is this happening? Because something has changed within this Moabite woman. She's turned to the God of Israel. She's recognizing God's acceptance of her, and she has chosen the God who says she belongs. She belongs to God. She's part of this family. She belongs with Naomi in the new family, the people of Israel. And her actions tell the story. Her actions, her sacrificial love for her mother-in-law reveals that she knows she belongs. So she's experienced this radical acceptance of being God's family as she gives herself in sacrificial love through a commitment to Naomi. She trusts that God accepts her, and she's empowered to serve Naomi. She writes, "Where you go, I will go. And where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people. Your God, my God." So radical acceptance by God is reciprocated by us and radical love for others. It shows in your actions. You know, there are lonely people in our community today, people who feel like outsiders. Maybe that's you sitting right here or online with us. You want to feel accepted. You want to feel like there's hope for the future. You want to turn to God and belong. The invitation is to do that, to trust in Jesus. Then do what seems out of the ordinary and recognize that you belong to the family of God. Jesus said, "Whatever you do to the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you do to me." So you and I are empowered to radically love others when we accept that we belong to one another. So be like a Ruth and be a blessing. So you find radical acceptance when you accept that you belong, when you accept that you belong to God, to one another, and when you belong to God's story. And Boaz seems to recognize his part in this upper story to get God's people back. And through Boaz, God uses the upper story to bless Naomi and Ruth. He said, Ruth says, "The Lord bless him. Naomi said to her mother, her daughter-in-law, 'He has not stopped showing his kindness to the living and the dead.' And she added, 'The man is our close relative. He is one of our kinsmen redeemers.'" This idea of a kinsman redeemer is that for a widow, Naomi has this land in Israel. And in order to survive, she needs to sell it. And if she sells it, though, she loses that inheritance. So the kinsman redeemer is someone who steps in on their behalf and buys this land for them and restores them to that rightful heir. But there's another component to it. A widow has no heirs. And so the widower's husband won't have any heir to go along. So there's a provision within the law of Israel that provides for a brother or a very close relative to marry the widow, to have a child, to continue that line, to continue that heir. Now, to us today, that sounds strange, right? Sounds really bizarre. But in that time, in that culture, it was a way of providing for that widow, providing for that family who was really facing utter destitution. It was God's provision for the least and the left out, for the hurting and the lonely. And so that's what Boaz does. As we read through the story, Boaz takes on Naomi, or takes on Ruth as her, takes on Ruth as his wife, and he is her kinsman redeemer. So we read in chapter 4. This is how the story finishes. So Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife. When he made love to her, the Lord enabled her to conceive, and she gave birth to a son. The woman said to Naomi, "Praise be to the God who this day has not left you without a guardian redeemer. May he become famous throughout Israel. He will renew your life and sustain you in your old age. For your daughter-in-law, who loves you and who is better to you than seven sons, has given him birth." Then Naomi took the child in her arms and cared for him. The woman living there said, "Naomi has a son," and they named him Obed. He was the father of Jesse, the father of David. And so I don't know if you catch that at the end of that paragraph, but it's talking about a lineage that is recognizing radical acceptance. That Ruth, now a foreign woman, is included into the family of God through the family of Israel, but in her line, she is now bringing forth an heir. The father of Obed, who is the father of Jesse, who is the father of David, and through David comes the Messiah, who is Savior of the world, kinsman redeemer of the world. So the invitation for us is to be like Boaz, is to radically accept others and do what is right, even when it's costly. Be part of God's story of radical acceptance. Take time to talk to a child down at their level, like Katie does up here. Volunteer as a mentor at church or in social services or school or Safe Families. Volunteer in the children's ministry. Mentor a teen. We have opportunities even now. Go on a mission trip to either Alaska or Belize potentially this year or other places. Do chores or a project for a single mom who's struggling. Invite a single parent family over for some relaxation, or better yet, on a vacation. Babysit for a busy couple who don't have time for a date night. Speak encouragement to a person who is struggling. You know who they are. Invite a widow or widower over for dinner. Have your family go to a nursing home and visit and celebrate special days. Sit with a kid in school who is new and maybe alone. Do a random act of kindness that keeps on giving. Be creative and discover how God wants to use you in acceptance in someone's life. So in this journey with Christ, sometimes we pay a high cost. And it doesn't maybe make sense in our world, the economy, but we're not serving the kingdom of this world. We're pursuing God's upper story, pursuing the kingdom of heaven and God's outcome. And like Naomi and Ruth and Boaz, we don't always see God's plan and how that's going to work out in the future. But we know that God works for the good of those who love him and who are called according to his purpose. So you belong to God. You belong to one another. And you belong to God's story. And that story includes radical acceptance. Like a local high school, which was the roughest in a rough city, 40% of its students at this high school in Compton, California, are either in a group home or a foster home. Think about that, 40%. Such students don't have any adults who cheer on their football team. And as we think about that during playoff season, there's nobody lining up on Main Street to cheer them to go. There's no one hosting team dinners for them. There's parents in the stands are few and far between. So when two of the Faith Inspirational members volunteered to help coach the football team, they were appalled at the state of the lockers, so they invited the church, some church people in to organize and refurbish and paint them. So one of the young men on the football team who was there helping with the project, he turned to the lady next to him and asked her why she was painting the locker. The church member simply said, "Because I love you." "No one loves me," he said skeptically. At that, the woman set down her paintbrush, went over to the young man, and hugged him. I know, that's probably not acceptable, but she did it. "No one has hugged me in 7 years," he said, and not knowing exactly what to do with this woman, but she wasn't done yet. She called over a dozen other women, and they all lined up and gave a hug to this young man to tell them how special he was to God and that he had a destiny. The young man just wept and wept. After that open door, Pastor Rafer Owens, who was also a police officer in the community, started lining up 15 adults to adopt each football player and to go to their games and cheer them on so that they each know how special they are to God, that they each know they are radically accepted. So the point is this: align your life to the upper story of God. And even when it means surrender and sacrifice, extend acceptance to someone that God has already accepted, and he will use you to bless them. Be a Naomi. Accept that you belong to God. Be a Ruth. Accept that you belong to a family. And be a Boaz. And accept that you belong to God's story. Someone is waiting for your acceptance.